Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This day is a gift from God. We come to celebrate that great shepherd of the sheep. Welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending recently. We want to extend a word of welcome to you and express our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. One way to do that, of course, is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look at your bulletin inserts, you will find lots of ways to do that. I'm going to lift up just a couple. First of all, for those of you who ordered them, our Bedrock Belief t-shirts are here. They will be available for pickup next Sunday, the 14th, in Reed Hall. And I want to lift up today's communion offering. I'll mention that again later on. But you find a special insert in your bulletin related to Congo Women Arise. I hope you'll read that carefully. There's more information in the larger insert about this particular ministry in which the Tennessee Conference is working with the East Congo Conference to provide a center for women. Read the description. You'll understand why this is so desperately needed. And the center, when it is completed, will be called the Mama Lynn Center for Lynn McAlilly, who just happens to be married to our bishop and is a member here at West End, and is just a fine all-around person as well. She has been very supportive of this. This is our offering for our annual conference this year, and we're hoping that West End can provide at least $5,000 toward this effort. So I'll mention more about that in a little while. Do you ever feel the need to just have somebody take care of you? Just to stop all the noise and busyness, all the responsibilities and to just have somebody care for you, provide for your needs, focus on you. Well, there's a name for that kind of person. That's a shepherd. We're going to talk more about shepherds in a minute. Stick around.
Together in the presence of our Shepherd God, who restores our souls, and whose goodness and love never stop pursuing us. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to John. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. He sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." This is the word of our Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A story that is not from the Bible. The ancient rabbis told this story about Moses. While he was keeping the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, pretty much out in the middle of nowhere in Midian, he happened to notice a lamb, and the lamb took off from the flock. Well, Moses was in a quandary. Would he stay and protect the rest of the flock, or would he run after that one lamb? Well, he thought, I'll go catch that lamb. Couldn't run that fast. So he started off after the lamb, but the faster Moses ran, the lamb knew that he was chasing him, so he ran even faster. Until finally, the lamb found a small watering hole and stopped and got a drink. And Moses stopped and took time to think and said, boy, that was silly. All the lamb wanted was water. I could have just brought all the sheep down and watered them, and I wouldn't have had to go to all this trouble. So when the lamb had drunk its fill, Moses put the lamb on his shoulder, carried the lamb back to the flock, and brought the entire flock down for a drink of water. The old rabbis say that God was watching this, and it was at that point that God said, that's the guy I want to bring my people out of slavery. That's the kind of person we need. Now, that probably reminds you of another story that Jesus told at a very different time with a very similar theme. Okay, now a story from the Bible. David was just a boy, but he was a shepherd. It's not unusual in the Middle East to this day for young men and young women, even boys and girls, to be shepherds, to care for the family's sheep. When Jesse came to find the new king of Israel, he almost missed David. One after another, he looked at each of David's older brothers, and God said, no, not that one, no, not that one, no, not that one, no, not that one. Until finally, in the household of Jesse, Samuel had to ask, don't you have any more? And almost as an afterthought, Jesse said, well, yeah, there's some David out there keeping the sheep. And when David was brought in, he was the one. You see, David had gone to battle. His brothers were fighting for King Saul. David hadn't originally gone to fight. He had gone to bring his brothers food so they would have provisions so they could fight. The problem was there was a huge giant named Goliath, and the giant had frightened all the Israelite soldiers. Nobody wanted to fight the giant. The giant would come out and humiliate them every single day. Well, when David arrived with the food, he heard about this. He heard that no one, not even the king, Saul, was willing to fight the giant. And even though he was just a boy, he raised his hand and he said, I'll fight him. And they said, are you kidding? You're just a kid. He said, I'm not just a kid. I'm a shepherd. I have been out in the middle of nowhere, and I have protected the sheep from wolves and bears and all kinds of dangerous creatures. And if I can face them, I'm not scared of some old Philistine giant. Now, when Jesus used the term shepherd, he was using a very familiar term. It was familiar in at least two ways. One was that you could look on any hillside as Jesus walked from town to town, and you would see sheep and goats, and you would see shepherds taking care of them. Now, some of those shepherds were taking care of the family sheep, and some of those shepherds were hired to take care of the sheep for other people. So when he starts explaining about the difference between a shepherd who's taking care of their family sheep, who will stay with the sheep and not run away, and the hired shepherd who, when danger comes, runs away, people know that immediately. They have seen it. But there's a second way that the people listening to Jesus know about shepherds. There is a whole history in Israel of what shepherds do, what they are supposed to do. And these two stories illustrate really two sides of what shepherds do. One is they find food and water for the sheep. They take them out so they can graze in the pastures. They take them out so they can find water, and sheep don't like running water. They like pools of water, so they have to find still water for them. And secondly, they protect them from danger. They protect them from wild beasts who would come and steal and kill the sheep. This is why the kings of Israel are not considered to be gods. You know, Samuel told the people of Israel, because God had told Samuel what a king would do. He said, you want a king? You want to be like the nations? Well, a king is going to take your sons and put them in the army and go off and fight wars with them. The king is going to take your daughters for servants and slaves and concubines. But they still wanted a king. So they got their king, but there was a difference in Israel. While in other cultures the king might be God, in Israel the king was the shepherd. And the shepherd was judged by how well he took care of the sheep. The king in Israel was not judged by God, by how powerful his armies were, by how large his treasury was. The king in Israel, as a shepherd, was judged by how he provided for the sheep, especially the least of these, the widows and the orphans, those who went without. It was the king's responsibility to see that they did not do that. And it was the king's responsibility to protect the sheep that had been placed into his care. So when Jesus starts talking about shepherd, you had all of this going on in the minds of the people who were listening. You had all those old stories, both the rabbi's stories and the stories from Scripture, and you had all around them living examples of good shepherds and, how shall we say, not such good shepherds. This saying culminates a whole series of I am sayings for Jesus, and is probably in many ways the most familiar to us. I am the good shepherd, he says. I'm the good shepherd because I come to lead you to a place where you will have abundant life. I don't come to take from you, I come to give to you. And who did Jesus hang out with? He hung out with the least of these. He helped widows and orphans. He helped the people that everybody else rejected and pushed away. That's what the good shepherd does. He makes sure all the sheep have enough, that no one goes without. But then there's that second thing, which is much harder. He says, I'm the good shepherd because I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep. And we know that story. We know that he does. It's always been a daunting thing for me to be called pastor, because pastor means shepherd. In Spanish, the 23rd Psalm begins, El Señor es mi pastor. Wow. I'm supposed to be that. I mean, I understand Jesus and all of that, providing for all of us. I just want to be a sheep, okay? I just want somebody to take care of me, provide for me. But at some point in all of our lives up here, and you have a whole team of shepherds, not just one, God said, yeah, but you're going to have to take this other role too. We are all understudies for the good shepherd. None of us will ever live up to that standard. And yet, What else could we aspire to be the good shepherd in our leadership? You're about to change a couple of your shepherds. Brandon Baxter is coming to join us. Chris and Erica have a new adventure in their lives. Carol Cavan Dillon is coming to join us. Margaret and I have a new adventure in our lives. People have often said, in a very sweet and kind way, that Carol is going to have big shoes to fill. And I assume you're not just talking about my size 12 feet. But let me tell you something. She's not. Because I'm taking my shoes with me. And she's going to have to bring her own. Every pastor is different. Brandon will not fit in Chris's shoes. Carol will not fit in my shoes. Nor do they have to. Nor should they want to. Because you see, God has gifted each of us in a particular way to do the particular thing that God wants us to do. And we all have to bring our own shoes. But I can tell you one thing about all of the people on this staff that I've been privileged to serve among, and about Carol, and about Brandon, is that we all aspire to be understudies of that good shepherd. Knowing we will fall short, we all aspire to help Jesus provide all that we need, all that it takes for abundant life. When you're invited to this table, you're invited to feast and celebrate that abundant life. And we aspire to help protect all of us, to help keep all of us safe, especially those who feel most at risk, to provide a safe place for those who in the world do not feel safe. We depend upon that good shepherd. We live out what that good shepherd taught us. We aspire to become transparent to that good shepherd's love. And believe me, today I am not the host at this table. There is another who invites you. There is another who is host. And that is the Good Shepherd. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. It is a treat to welcome you this morning. You are all welcome here. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service, and you can look for their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the late worship service. They will also gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or if they're confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite all of you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. As God is mindful of us and of our needs, let us now be mindful to be good stewards through our generosity and responsibility for God's gifts.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of love and light, great shepherd of the sheep, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying to them, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you gather in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in unity with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. That prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. As I said earlier, we are not the hosts of this meal. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We invite you to, after the choir is served, we invite you to come by way of the center aisle. When you kneel, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. After you've received the elements, you're welcome to remain at the chancel rail for a time of prayer if you choose. You're also welcome to return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, just catch our eye or the eye of an usher. We'll be glad to serve you there. We do have a gluten-free option. If you need the gluten-free option, we ask you to come to the lectern side of the sanctuary. Simply tell the person who is serving that you want gluten-free, and we have that option here. Emily will be glad to serve you that. We take an offering at each and every one of our communion services, and this particular month, our offering goes to our conference emphasis and offering for our annual conference session, which is Congo Women Arise. Again, I would encourage you to read the information in our inserts. The situation in Congo is horrific for everyone. It is especially horrific for women. As you read that information, you'll understand why. One of the things we're trying to do is to provide a center for safety for the women of Eastern Congo. This is going to be called the Mama Lynn Center for Lynn McAlilly, who happens to be a member here, who happens to be married to our bishop, but who is an amazing individual just on her own. And I'm delighted that she'll be honored in this way. We're hoping that we can contribute $5,000 at least to that cause. And if you would like to contribute, there are two plates next to the front pews. You're welcome to leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you stand with me and respond to the prayer after receiving? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.